2001, I went to Shanghai to teach some English teachers how to, you know, to better to teach English. And it was a very interesting place, and I got to see firsthand the Confucian work ethic, which was very impressive to me, and the love of learning, the respect for teachers, and respect for authority. And I had a party member in my class, and he made it very clear to anybody who within the sound of his voice that our task now was to get rich. China needs to get rich, make money, do business, and all that stuff. He was more capitalist than the capitalists I meet in the United States, you know. And apparently they're very business friendly. I mean, there are very few obstacles in your way if you want to start a business in China at that point, and probably now as well. And it seems that in China at that point, that people actually wanted to produce great people. They wanted to produce people who could create and invent and patent stuff, so they wouldn't have to pay these royalty fees to the Westerners who owned all these patents. And they wanted to get ahead economically and financially and in other ways. And I understand there were a number of complexes that they were had planned to build, maybe something like 30 complexes, a half a kilometer square, and bring all the good people, the smart people they could find in there, so they could produce all this knowledge and science and technology, you know, to leap ahead of the West. So I don't know if they completed all that or not, but that's what they have in mind. And I visited, you know, parts of Shanghai, including Nanjinglu, which is a great shopping mall business. It's, you know, many blocks long, and it's just shop after shop after shop. And with neon lights, I mean, it made Broadway look like, you know, it outdid Broadway. And the prices were much better. The prices of things were—it's almost like the price of goods you would buy. It was like the equivalent to the sales tax in the U.S. You know, so I would try to calculate how much the sales tax would be, and that would be how much I would pay. And there were ATM machines all over, so I just used my American ATM cards and get all the cash I wanted. No, they gave you local currency, the Chinese currency. So it was never a problem getting money at all. And I visited Pudong, which is near Shanghai. I mean, you can see it across the river or the bay or whatever that is, and it is a architectural classroom. It is. They have such a wide variety of skyscrapers. It's, you know, it just makes New York City look like a garbage dump. I mean, really. You know. In fact, they tell me there's so many skyscrapers are being built in Shanghai that it is sinking slowly, but and that may be an exaggeration, but the Shanghai is full of skyscrapers. I understand at that point something like a third of the world's building cranes were in China building stuff. And the people are quite different. You know, you see they were about doing things. See, in China, apparently at that point, if you didn't, you could literally starve to death. See, you had to find some way to make a living. I mean, it was not clear that you could live off any kind of government help at all, you know. So there were a lot of hungry people who, you know, studied hard and worked hard and all that sort of thing. It's not like the U.S. at all. That was the Confucian work ethic, as far as I can see, was very strong still. You know, eventually it will probably decay, but at that point it was very strong. And I visited Suzhou, as I recall the name, I might probably mispronouncing it, a couple of hours away, was famous for its silk works. And I got to see a town closer to, you know, away from the city, closer to what it would look like centuries ago. There were some parts of the city that were just, you know, like they were a long time ago, so you get some idea. And I'm not sure what else. I went to a bookstore and the books were pretty cheap. And I was so delighted. I saw people standing up reading books, sitting down on the floor reading books, sitting on the windowsill reading books, and it just made my heart very happy to see actually people reading, because in America I see very few people reading anything under any circumstance. Oh yes, and I went to visit some Chinese herbal healers, including one that was associated with Harvard University, and went through a, you know, thing, but, you know, they didn't find anything, you know. I seemed to be in really perfect health, so they didn't, you know. But at least I went through all that structure and see what it felt like. I'm not sure what else, so.
Well, you got to visit Beijing, too.
Huh? Oh, yes, also I went to Beijing. One of my Chinese friends suggested to be sure to go to Beijing to see the Forbidden City, to see how people who were at that time the most powerful, wealthy, influential, scientific leader of the world, at least the world that they knew about, and to see how they lived and what you know, whatever. And it was really an inspiring picture, and I got to, I actually walked through the buildings in the Forbidden City, saw the palace room, and you know, the entranceway, the great gate, and some of the inner courts, and the Taoist temple. Apparently, the Taoists were the physicians of the emperor back in those days. What else?